For our Bible reading today, we're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians, the chapter 11. We want to commence our reading at the opening verse of the chapter. It's 1 Corinthians, the chapter number 11, commencing at verse 1. The Apostle Paul, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. But the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is a man also by the woman. But all things of God, judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering." We'll end our reading there at the end of the verse 15, and let's seek the Lord in a word of prayer together. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before Thee. We're fully aware today that we need Thy help and Thy grace to preach Thy word. We realize that Thy word is truth. But Lord, we need to preach the truth in love. And so we pray that Thou will fill my heart with love today. Grant, O God, us to have that submissiveness of heart with regard to the commands of Scripture. O God, grant to us the leading of Thy Spirit even throughout this message. And help us, dear God, first of all, to honor the Lord, to fear no man, to fear no woman, but help us, Father, to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the teachings of Scripture. For we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. For some weeks now, with the exception of last Lord's Day, we have been considering together the subject matter of biblical worship. If you can recall, my first message that I preached, it was with regard to the essence of worship. And I stated on that occasion the seven distinctives of the Free Presbyterian Church. As a church, we are Reformed in doctrine, Protestant in conviction, Separatist in practice, Presbyterian in government, sanctified in behavior, evangelistic in outreach, and biblical in worship. When we speak about being biblical in worship, we mean that our worship must be reverent, God glorifying, and Christ exalting. Therefore, as a denomination, we repudiate any modern trend towards the minimizing of the preaching of God's word, the incorporation of contemporary worship and song, dress that is immodest and inappropriate, and the rejection of the head covering, for woman. Now, I did deal on one occasion with the issue of immodest and inappropriate dress when it comes to our worshiping God. However, there is another issue in that statement that I want to address today, an issue that is connected with this very subject matter that we've been dealing with, namely our entering in to worship. I must say that it is an issue that has really only become an issue in recent decades, the issue to which I refer to is that of the head covering. As a denomination, we do reject the modern trend that denies the biblical teaching of the head covering for women in public worship. The question that must be asked around any issue is, what saith the Scriptures? We need to remember that the legalistic scribes and Pharisees, they place traditions upon individuals, the traditions of men, and they elevated those traditions to above the teaching of Scripture, a trap that we as a denomination must be very careful that we don't fall into, that we place tradition over the teaching of Scripture, because the Scriptures are alone our rule of faith and practice. Well, I believe the teaching that a woman should cover her head in public worship and a man should have his head uncovered in public worship is clearly set forth for us within this very chapter that we have read together today. And so with the chapter, 1 Corinthians 11 before us, I want to speak on the subject matter of the head covering. The head covering. Now, before we enter the subject matter proper, we must realize that the head covering, it should never be looked upon as something that demeans a woman. It's not something that makes a woman of lesser importance within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever God created Eve, he took a rib from Adam's side to signify that in his sight both were to stand side by side. In other words, there was to be an equality of persons and yet differing roles within that relationship between husband and wife and male and female. I believe it was Reverend Ferguson over our week of meetings who quoted Matthew Henry on this point, but it's well worth repeating again. He said, Matthew Henry said, the woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be loved. And yet, although Adam and Eve were seen to be equal in God's sight, they were to assume differing roles. And it is the differing roles that a man and a woman assumes that the head covering acknowledges when a people congregates to publicly worship God. Now, in considering the matter of the head covering, I want us to consider together then in the first place the precept for the head covering. Now, some people who would be hostile to the practice of head covering in public worship would be very quick to suggest and to affirm that such a practice is free Presbyterian in nature. However, if you were to travel back some 20, 30 years ago within this province and were able to enter various places of worship, even within this time, you would view on that occasion every woman wearing a head covering as they engaged in public worship. Though believed and taught by Free Presbyterians, the wearing of a head covering is not exclusively practiced by our denomination, although we would have to say that it is very much a practice that is on the decline. But folks, we don't believe and teach that it's proper for a woman to wear a head covering because our presbytery has placed it among our distinctives. We believe the wearing of the head covering is a precept, is a command that's set forth in the Scriptures of truth, and that's why we practice it. And so the question is not, therefore, one of revelation. Has God spoken on the matter? No, the matter is simply a question of submission. Will I, as a follower of Jesus Christ, submit myself to the teaching of Scripture, or, as in the days of the judges, will I do that which is right in my own eyes? Now, the precept of the head covering is found in the verses 4 to 6. We need to read them again. 4-6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Here God commands. There's a command for man, and there's a command for woman. Don't think that God is just exclusively, as it were, through the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, that he's directing his thoughts towards the woman. There is an order here. There is something for the man, and there is something for the woman. Here we find the Spirit of God directing Paul to say that whenever a man prays or prophesies, they are to do so with their heads uncovered. They are not to do it with something on their head. Now, we need to keep in mind that this idea of prophesying, it not only entails the telling forth or the foretelling of future events, but it also refers to the telling forth of God's truth. That's what prophesying is, the telling forth of God's truth. And remember that that can be done various ways. It can be done through preaching. It can be done through praying. It can be done through the praising of God. And so a man, whenever he prays and whenever he preaches or prophesies, taking it in a broad sense, he is to do so with his head uncovered. I was just thinking, it came into my head that we could say something about the Pope of Rome, because he wears something on his head whenever he sits on his throne. And so he's one who breaks this commandment. But if the men are to come with their heads uncovered, we find here that the woman, she is to pray, verse 5, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. And so the woman, she is to cover her head whenever she prays or prophesies. You may be saying, well then, is this not a proof text to say that women can be ministers, preachers of the gospel? Not so. Remember, we need to remember that this word is taken in a broad sense. A woman can prophesy as she sings, the telling forth of God's truth, of God's praise. As she prays, there is that a prophesying again. And so it does not mean that a woman can be a preacher. Don't forget this, the Bible never contradicts itself. The Bible complements itself, never contradicts itself. And so this cannot mean that a woman can be a preacher, can be a minister of the gospel. Why do I say that? Because there are other passages of Scripture that forbid that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'll give you a few others. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 and 35. Let your woman keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak or to preach. That's the word. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. It's taking on, these words are referring to that leadership role, that preaching of the gospel of our Lord and Savior before a mixed congregation. That's what it's referring to. You can turn in your own time, write it down, 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12. 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, Titus 1, and the verse number 6. We find in all of those occasions that a woman is not permitted to take the role of leadership within the church as a minister of the gospel. And so whenever the word prophesying is used here in the chapter number 11, it cannot mean the preaching of the word. It has to take a broader sense of the word. And I believe that is emphasized, or that is shown to us in the Old Testament, that a broader way can be spoken with regard to this work of prophesying. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10. We'll not turn to too many, but this is good. 1 Samuel chapter 10. We find here that Saul has just been anointed to be king by Samuel the prophet. And Samuel tells him here in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and the verse number 9, that after thou shalt come to the hill of God, there was the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come hither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of the prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them. And they shall what? They shall prophesy. Here we have musical instruments. The very Hebrew word here is to sing. They shall sing. Over there in 1 Chronicles chapter 25, if you're that direction, turn a few chapters. 1 Chronicles 25 verse 3, this idea of praise is again before us. It speaks about the sons of Jeshuah. And it tells us there at the end of the verse, and God, 1 Chronicles 25 verse 3, who prophesied with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord. 1 Chronicles 25 verse 3, who prophesied with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord. And so we here have this word prophesy. It's not just about preaching. It's incorporating the idea of praising God. And that a woman can do within the church of Jesus Christ. And thus we have a precept that's set down in 1 Corinthians. Very simply, men are to come to God's house with their heads uncovered. Women are to come into God's house with their heads covered. And thus this precept, in doing so, to attend the house of God, to attend the public place of worship, this is a precept that is set down within God's word. Let me make some comment with regard to that. Can I say, ladies, regardless if you're in this church, regardless if you're in a church belonging to this denomination or in a church belonging to another denomination, in a funeral parlor, in an open-air meeting, regardless of where that is, the precept of Scripture stands fast in every place of public worship. You are to have your head covered. You're to have your head covered. It is a precept, a command of God's word. Now, I know, ladies, that the wearing of a head covering may cause you to feel awkward. It may even cause you to feel embarrassed because you're the only individual who's wearing a head covering within that assembly of saints. But yet I put it to you that you should not be the one who feels awkward. And you should not be the one who feels embarrassed. Because all you're doing is obeying the command of Scripture. You're not making a point by doing it. You're not saying, I'm a free Presbyterian. You're saying, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian who obeys the Word of God. You may say, but I'll stand out. I'll look different from everyone else within the place of worship. And yet the Christian is to be different. The Christian is not commanded to live a life of conformity to the world's standards, Romans 12, 1 and 2, but the Christian is to love God. And the Christian who loves God will obey his commandments. You may say, but this isn't a commandment of God, is it not? Well, you need to turn then to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul is still speaking here. This section can be taken together. 1 Corinthians 11 right through to 14, 15. It can be taken as a whole. What do we read there? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you, this is Paul speaking, the things that I write unto you, what are they? They are the commandments of the Lord. These are God's commandments. These are God's commandments. Now, it may be true that we cannot fully understand and contemplate why this precept is set forth in the Scripture, and yet, in submissive obedience, we are, as with every other precept and command of Scripture, simply to yield to God and say, not my will, but thine be done. Because, folks, the opposite of obedience is what? It's rebellion. And what is rebellion? 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. I would know that every lady in this place would want to obey the Savior. I know you would want to do that. And maybe in the past you've failed in this area. I'm not here to condemn you. Maybe it was done through ignorance. Don't let the devil condemn you. But from now on, having received the light, sister, walk in the light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And you'll have fellowship one with another. I trust that God will give us all the grace with respect even to the matter of head covering, that we'll just obey the Savior. Regardless if it isn't in vogue within the Church of Jesus Christ, it's here in black and white. God has said it, I believe it. It's in the book. And I'm just going to obey the Savior, even if I'm the only one. Moving on then from the precept, I trust that we've seen it. It's here in the book. We want to consider in the second place the purpose of the head covering. For what reason does God command men to worship with heads uncovered and women to worship him with covered heads? Well, I believe the purpose of such a command is so that he might establish three principles or three truths. He's using the head covering as an object lesson. And he's going to teach by that object lesson something very visible within the Church of Jesus Christ. He's going to set forth three tremendous principles that he wants to get over to the Church of Jesus Christ. First of all, God sets forth, by the object lesson of the head covering, he sets forth to establish the principle of headship and authority. Headship or authority. Look at verse 3, chapter 11. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Paul states here that in God's ordered economy, there is the idea of headship, the idea of authority. He says that the head of the woman is the man. And then the head of the man is Christ. And then the head of Christ is God. Whenever we think about the head, it is that controlling, governing organ of the body. Every other part of a man or a woman's body is under the governance and the government and the authority of the head. And thus Paul explains it in this verse that God has placed the woman under the authority of man. He has placed man under the authority of Christ. And then he says this, an amazing truth. He says that Christ is under the authority of God. He's arguing here from the greater to the lesser, or from the lesser to the greater, whatever way you want to look at it. And we have tried to explain what we mean by that. He's arguing from the greater to the lesser. If Christ is under God, then men, you're under Christ. And then, ladies, you're under. You're under with regard to role, that of the men. Christ is co-equal. Christ is co-eternal with the Son, but he submitted himself to the authority of the Father. And Paul says, ladies, if your Savior can do that, if he can come under the authority, even though he be equal with him, even though Christ be equal with God, if Christ can come under the authority of God, then ladies ought not, in light of him and his example, you come under the authority of men and with the man. And that is shown in the head covering. Now, on this principle of headship and authority, I want to quote from the Reverend Timothy Nelson. He brought out a book many years ago, The Head Covering, What Saith the Scriptures. He said this, There is no essential inequality between the woman and the man. But in God's order, the woman is subordinate to the man in her role and function. The man has a position of authority over the woman. And can I say this before I go on to quote men? Given that position, you're under greater judgment. You are greater in a more greater place of accountability with regard to the role that you've been given. This is not to say that the woman should feel that she is, nor indeed should be treated as, a kind of second-class citizen. The man is a God-given place of prominence. The same God gives the woman a place of subjection. And there is honor and privilege for both in occupying the place assigned by God. The Christian is to respect this order, remembering that God expects it to be followed not merely within the marriage and the home, but obviously within the church and its worship. For a man then to cover his head in public worship is a denying of God's appointed place for him in God's order. And in the same way, a woman that worships her head uncovered is a denial of the place appointed by the most wise God for her, namely a place of subjection and under authority and headship. There is a second principle that is established by the head covering, and that is God's glory. God's glory. Look at verse number 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. Now, with respect to this glory argument, we could say Paul states that man is the image. He is the very glory of God. Whenever man was created by God, he was given a place of exclusive honor and glory before God, even before the woman was ever made. Man was the very image of God, the very crowning glory of God's creative work. But then he goes on to say that woman is the glory of man. Now, what is that to do with worship and to do with the head covering? Well, in acceptable biblical worship, the glory of God must always be preeminent. God's glory must not be concealed. It must not be hidden. And in order for that truth to be pressed home, God takes the head covering and shows that man, who is the image, who is the glory of God, is to worship with his head uncovered by man. Therefore, man, your uncovered head, God is showing symbolically that his glory, of whom you are the image of, and you are the very glory of God, that glory is not to be concealed, but it is to be manifested within the church. However, the woman, who is the glory of man, we read at the end of the verse, she is to cover her head. Why? Well, she is man's glory. And whenever we come to worship, man's glory is to be concealed. Man's glory is to be covered. At no time and in no sense should the glory of any man, preacher included, be at the fore in worship. No, we're here to glorify God. Let me put it as simply as I possibly can. By a man's uncovered head, we are taught that God's glory is to have primacy in worship. It is to be preeminent. While a woman's head covered, we are taught that man's glory has no place in the public place of worship. The psalmist said in Psalm 115, verse 1, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." There's a third principle that he established by the head covering, that is a testimony to the angels. A testimony to the angels. Verse number 10, "For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels." That word ought, must, should, is under obligation. That's what it is in the original. A woman is under obligation to have power in her head because of the angels. That word power, it simply means authority. And so the verse is teaching, I believe, that in public worship, the woman ought to have a sign on her head that shows that she's under authority. And that sign is the head covering. Paul then gives us the reason why that ought to happen. Because of the angels. You may find that to be a very strange statement. Because of the angels, this is the reason why I wear a head covering. Because of the angels, what on earth does that mean? Well, you may find it strange, but it's not so strange whenever you read passages like 1 Corinthians 4 verse 9, Ephesians 3 verse 10, 1 Peter 1 verse 12. And in those passages of Scripture, you'll realize that the angels of God are present in a place of worship. It tells us there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, that the angels desire to look into these things. Do we not read there in the book of Hebrews that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses? Of whom is he speaking of in the book of Hebrews? Yes, he's speaking about the glorified saints, but I believe he's also speaking about the holy angels. Every time we gather for worship, unseen beings are present to watch on. Paul was saying here that when we assemble for worship, we're in the presence of angels who themselves, they veil their faces. In the presence of Almighty God, Isaiah 6, and therefore if the unfallen angels veil their faces, ought not woman to do likewise? And by such they show to the angels their obedience to the particular role that God has assigned for them. See, by a woman covering her head, God uses that to teach the angels something. He teaches the angels the truths of authority and submission within the church. By it, the angels are brought to see the biblical significance of the lordship of Christ and the proper place of the individual believer within the church. What do the angels think whenever they look into a place of worship and they see ladies with their heads uncovered? They see that the creature thinks that they know better than the Creator. And they see a people who's rebelling against the command of Scripture. I trust that as wherever you're found, ladies, in this church as was said, in other churches, I trust that as they look at you, the angels will at least find with you, there's a lady who wants to obey the Savior. She's submitting herself to God's order. And I tell you, whenever we find ourselves in the right place within God's order, God's blessing will come. God's blessing will come to your heart and to your home because you're obeying the Word of God. Well, in the final place, we want to do this quickly. We want to consider not only the precept, not only the purpose, but the protestations against the head covering. I had to get another P. The protestations. You see, there are those who do reject the head covering in public worship, and they would use the following arguments to protest against such a practice. Some would protest by saying, this practice of wearing a head covering, it was a local custom that was only to be adhered to by the Corinthian woman. In other words, this was just for the Corinthians. This isn't for the church in the 21st century. This was a local custom. Well, folks, that shows you maybe a person's ignorance with regard to the custom, because the custom was that men worship God with heads covered. And women in those times, they worship God with their heads uncovered. In other words, there was a swapping. And so if this was custom, well then, why the need for it? No, there's a change that's taking place here by Paul. He's speaking under inspiration. By some who would say, well, this was only a local custom. It was only to be adhered to by the Corinthian woman. Let me ask these questions in light of such reasoning. Were the Ten Commandments then only for the Israelites who gathered around Mount Sinai? Were they only for them to obey? Or what about the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount? Were they restricted to the people that heard the Lord Jesus Christ that day? And then, what about the communion feast that we find on into this very chapter? Chapter 11, it speaks about the communion feast. Was that only then to be adhered to by the Corinthian church? We would all know the answer to those questions. Of course, none of those things are right. We are bound to keep the moral law, though not saved by it. We are to live lives that are directed by the law of God. The Sermon on the Mount, those teachings, they are for every man of every generation. Yes, and the Lord's Supper, the communion feast, it is to be observed by every believing child of God in all generations until he come again. But this argument that says, well, it was only for the Corinthian believers, that argument fails whenever we consider Paul's introductory remarks in this book. This is our last turn. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. To whom did Paul write this book to? Did he write it only to the church in Corinth? Well, we read there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Cephas, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Note and underline the words, yes, Paul was writing here to Corinth and to the saints in Corinth, with, it's a conjunction, with, connecting it together, with all that in every place, call upon the name of the Lord, of Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul did not limit this teaching, this commandment to the local church in Corinth. No, it was to the saints in all places, in every place. Others, they would protest by saying, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. It's spiritualized. They use a portion of God's word. Well, that is true. God does look in the heart. But it would be foolish to say that God takes no account of a believer's outward appearance. We're coming to worship God, and our outward appearance should convey the inward condition of the heart. I was doing a little bit of research, and I came across the official dress code for Royal Ascot. That is the annual horse racing festival that is attended by the Queen. And I was very interested to read the following guidelines of how a woman should dress in the royal enclosure. And I quote, dresses and skirts should be of modest length, defined as falling just above the knee or longer. Hats should be worn. A headpiece which has a base of 4 inches, 10 centimeters, or more in diameter is acceptable as an alternative to a hat. No one is permitted, no lady is permitted to enter the royal enclosure. Even if Her Majesty the Queen is not there, they are not permitted to enter without a head covering. If such standards are expected in the presence of an earthly monarch, should our standards be any less with respect to our meeting with the King of Kings? But let me make a qualifying remark, and we need to make it. A lady may come into God's house with an adequate head covering, and she may be very proud of her conformity to the teaching of Scripture, and yet all the while she may be cold of heart and far from God. The head covering does not save you. Outward conformity does not necessarily mean that there is inward spirituality. Just because you wear a head covering does not mean that spiritually all is well. You must be very careful. Others protest by stating, my hair is my head covering. You'll hear that. Well, such who use an argument, they quote the words at the end of the verse 15, and we'll soon be finished. They quote these words, 1 Corinthians 11 and the verse 15. For her hair is given her for a covering. That's what they say. Her hair is given for, there it is, it's in the Bible, it's black and white. My hair is my covering. Well, let's take that argument to its logical conclusion. That means if your hair is your covering, that every man has to come into this house with their heads bald. Some of you men maybe have taken that maybe too literally. But we see the non-logical sense of it. If a man is to have his head uncovered, if a woman is to have her head covered, and she says, well, my hair's my covering, that must mean that men need to be bald to worship God. It doesn't make sense. It must mean that there is something else that covers the head. And can I say something? I want to make a qualifying remark with regard to this word covering. I'm not here to give out any advice, ladies, on what you should wear, but let me just give you the Greek for the word covering. It is the Greek kata kalalipito. K-A-T-A-K-A-L-U-P-T-O. And this is what it means. To cover wholly. To cover fully. I leave the rest with you. I'm just giving it as it is. I give it as it is. This is God's word. And I give you that word so that you can look it up. I leave it with you. Others protest by stating the head covering is just a fashion accessory. And sad to say, sometimes it can be. I was listening to one of our own ministers who was preaching on the head covering just to help me with it and to assure me that I was going down the right direction. And he said he remembered being in the church, and he went into that church and he literally could not see the minister because the woman's hat was so wide he could not see her. It defeats the purpose of the head covering. It is for some just a fashion accessory, but let me remind you again of the purpose of the head covering. What is it to do? It is to veil the creature's glory so that God's glory can be fully manifested in the church. Now let me ask you these two questions. Is such a purpose achieved if the aisle of the church becomes a fashion catwalk? Is God's glory manifested and man's glory concealed if the aisle of this church or any other church becomes a fashion catwalk? The second question, is such a person achieved if the head covering draws attention to the one who wears it rather than to God, of whom we come to worship? The Lord Jesus Christ said these words, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." May our friendship to Christ be evidenced in our obedience to this command. When we gather for worship, men, you are to do so with your head uncovered. You're not to wear a hat in the house of God. And ladies, you are to have your heads covered. You may say, what about home? Do I cover my head at home? Well, if you note the setting off the chapter, you'll notice that it is instruction that is being given for the public place of worship. The communion feast is an ordinance that is to be given by the church and by the church alone and the officers that God has placed within his church. In the very same chapter, we find public worship. I believe it is in the public worship service. But ladies, I don't decry or say that you shouldn't wear a head covering, but I believe that at least here it shows that it is for the public place of worship. But I don't believe that you would do wrong if you had your head covered, and you're not doing wrong if you don't have it covered at home. I believe it's here, the public place of worship. What am I to wear? I leave that with you. When am I to start wearing the head covering? Well, when should we start obeying the Lord? As soon as possible. It does not say here that a saved woman should wear a head covering. It just says the woman who attend the public place should wear a head covering. I trust, folks, that we have tried to deal with this biblically. And I trust that from now on that you realize that this isn't a Free Presbyterian teaching, but this is a teaching in God's word, and that you just want to obey it. And can I say, maybe you know individuals who don't wear a head covering. It may be just through their lack of teaching. And surely from now you could point them, if ever asked, why do you wear a hat in God's house? This is why I do. This is why I do it. May God help us all in this area. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee. Thy word is before us. We pray that we would fulfill our roles. We pray that we'll not be like those who as it were, tear out 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Because, Lord, where do we stop? Where do we stop with regard to thy word? We take it as a whole, and we just want to submit to the teachings of thy word. Dear God, give our ladies grace. We thank thee for them. We thank thee for the submission of our ladies within the congregation. We pray that you'll bless them in this house and outside this house. We pray that regardless if they're the only one, that they'll dare to be a Daniel. They'll dare to stand alone, not for show, but just because they submit to the Master. Answer prayer and be with us the rest of this thy day. Be with our homes and families as we meet around a table where food has been prepared. Let us even eat with grateful hearts. And let us, Father, muse and meditate upon thy word. For we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you.